the government coming? We need gasoline. With gasoline, you're going to bring food and gasoline and clothes and gasoline to run generators. Bring us generators. Bring us something to get heat. We're going to die if we get killed with the weather. We're going to die. We're going to freeze. We have no cars. President Obama, please listen to us down here. We are going to die. You don't understand. You've got to get your trucks here on this corner.
Buckle your seatbelt. It's time for another episode of the Prepper Recon Podcast.
KatieArmor.com is your one-stop shop for the most affordable body armor, period. With packages starting at $169.99 and free shipping on every order, Katie offers soft armor and rifle threat-rated armor up to level 4. Go to KatieArmor.com and get your body armor today while you still can. Mention this ad and receive a free tactical scarf for a limited time with any body armor package. That's CatiArmor.com.
Whether it's a grid-down situation or just a temporary power outage from a storm, a sun oven will allow you to harness the power of the sun. Not only will you conserve resources, you'll maintain operational security by not sending up smoke. You can cook or dehydrate just about anything, including bread, muffins, roasts, jerky, beans, rice, and so much more. Go to sunoven.com/prepperrecon for an $80 discount off a deluxe package. Hey, Preppers and Patriots. This is the second half of my interview with Dr. Mike Spaulding of Calvary Chapel Lima, talking about spiritual preparedness. Enjoy the show. Now, right up until the Lord called him home, Pastor Chuck was very into prophecy. In fact, he used to do the World News Briefing with Don Stewart, which focused on end times prophecy and how it tied into current events. He wasn't afraid of prophecy at all, was he?
No, he sure wasn't. Pastor Chuck. Well, I tell you, I one of the things that I adopted from Pastor Chuck was the New Year's Eve prophecy update meeting. Pastor Chuck did that for years. I used to listen to those because he would put them out on CD, and I'd listen to those and be so encouraged. Generally, for those of your listeners that are wondering, well, what in the world is that? Prophecy update is generally a review of the past year's events and then a look at what we should expect to see in the coming year based on the things that have happened already. And I think this is a great way to get people thinking about the things happening in the world and really equipping them with the information that they need to prepare themselves and their families for, you know, whatever might be unfolding. So I am very grateful to Pastor Chuck and his legacy. It's certainly made a lasting impression upon my life and many other Calvary Chapel pastors as well.
And what message would you have for pastors and about how do you talk about preparedness from the pulpit?
Yeah. Well, one message would be this. Pastors, you must begin to help your fellowship to disconnect from the cares of the world and to reconnect with the things that God cares about. Mm-hmm. What are some of those things? That's the natural question, right? Well, number one, living a righteous and holy life. And that's almost like a duh statement. But to live a righteous and holy life is going to require getting rid of anything that enables or encourages you to live otherwise, and I'll trust your leaders, your listeners can think about that and think that through. Secondly, pastors need to focus on core principles and values. One reason the church has lost effectiveness is that we're spread too thin. Programs, programs, programs. They might draw goats, but they don't draw sheep. Sheep can become mesmerized by glitz and glamour. However, shiny things attract goats, and in my opinion, shiny things disorient the sheep. And then a second and closely related message to pastors would be this. Get back to teaching the Word of God undiluted. Stop preaching your cotton candy sermonettes for the sheepettes. Stop giving a feel-good, warm, fuzzy pep talk every Sunday to a people who need to hear about a God who is able to cause them to persevere through challenges and tribulations. Pastors, I want to encourage you to put on your big boy pants and be the shepherd leader that God called you to be. But when you do that, the eyesight of the flock is going to clear up, and they will be led once more by the Holy Spirit into understanding, into knowledge, and into wisdom. Now, the first objection that I hear when I say things like that, Mark, is this: but people will leave. And what they really mean is this: our offerings and therefore our budget's going to take a hit, and we got bills to pay, so we can't do that. And my response is this: trust God for the welfare of His ministry that He has entrusted to you. Get your fingerprints off of His people and let Him build the church the way He wants it to be built. And then thirdly, or finally, understand that God holds you accountable for the welfare of His people. If you're not preparing them to meet the challenges that are coming, then what is your purpose exactly? Ephesians tells us that pastors are to train their flock to do the work of the ministry. How many times does the Bible speak to pastors about their practice of tickling ears? How many times does God call out shepherds for leading His sheep astray? If you wear the mantle of pastor and you shepherd, then the health of the flock is directly related to their diet. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah over the course of 40 years. Then it was a consistent message, Mark. And I just finished teaching through Jeremiah here not long ago, so these things are fresh on my mind. But here is the message. And for example, Jeremiah 23:1, God said through Jeremiah, "Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord." And then in chapter 50, verse 6, he says, "My people have become lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray. They have made them turn aside on the mountains. They have gone along from mountain to hill and have forgotten their resting place." And that's an interesting statement, and I got to point out what that means. When God criticized, condemned the shepherds of Israel, and he said they have made them turn aside on the mountains, he's talking about idol worship there. That's where they had their altars to the pagan gods of the peoples of the land. And so they did that in the groves and the high places. So God's saying that the shepherds caused His people to worship idols, and that they have forgotten their resting place, which is, in this context, God. So why this great judgment on shepherds? Well, Jeremiah tells us in chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. I'm not going to read all that, but I will read 15, and here's what it says. God says, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you on knowledge and understanding." Pastors, my message to you is that we only have Jesus, the Word of God, to give to people, but He is more than enough.
And is there anything a congregant can do to encourage their pastor to get on the ball with preparedness and teaching straight from the Word?
Well, there is. As I was thinking about that, Mark, I've got two do's and two don'ts. How's that for a nice tidy list?
Okay.
Two do's and two don'ts. Folks, do go to your pastor and ask him if he would be okay for you to have a class either in your home or at the church that teaches people how to prepare themselves and their families for any kind of emergency, any kind of extended power outage, or a period of time when you do not have the normal utilities available, a natural disaster, for example. But don't go to your pastor and ask him to do it. It's too easy to shoot down that way. Pastors are busy people. If you come to them with an idea and you expect them to do it, they're just thinking, that's one more thing on my calendar that I don't have time to do. So do go and volunteer to do it yourself. Don't ask your pastor to do it. And when you approach your pastor, make sure that you've done your research. So there's another do. Do your research. Bring some articles about prepping, some resources where help is available. You're demonstrating to him that you've done the homework. You know what you want to do with this class and this preparation. Have a plan in place about what you want to present, and be able to verbalize how this is going to help the church family. Be ready. And then don't come to him with a mentality that the sky is falling. Even if you think it is, don't go to him with that mentality. Pastors are very easily panicked, just as the sheep are. So approaching the topic of prepping should be done with seriousness, but not fear.
Very, very good advice. Now, we've had some folks, and most people are going to know who I'm talking about if I say folks from the fringe.
yeah.
and they're talking about this high potential for an EMP attack and colossal loss of life, something like a 95% die-off in America if we were to have one of these attacks. And I really shouldn't say any names, but I'm going to. For one, we've got the former CIA director, James Woolsey. And, you know, that's a fringe group that I don't think we can give a whole lot of credence to.
Right.
Presidential candidate Mike Huckabee, and of course, Pastor Chuck's right-hand man for many years that led the Monday night Bible studies at Costa Mesa, Chuck Misler. Is there a legitimate concern to an EMP, or is this just another conspiracy theory like the massive cyber attack theory that one tinfoil hat chick, what was her name? Oh, yeah. Janet Napolitano.
Oh, yeah.
she was talking about. Is that, is that something we have to think about? Something that as catastrophic as that?
Yeah. My opinion is no. It does make interesting conversation. And is the technology there to potentially do that? Yeah. Yeah. I think it is. Here's what I explain to people, Mark. Are we headed for a financial reset? Yes, I believe we are. How serious is it going to be? I don't know. And some of the economists that I have talked to, they don't know either. They just know that something is coming. And what happens is people start they start almost hyperventilating about it the more that they talk about it and think about it, and they get themselves worked up. And is it possible? Again, yes, it is. Is it likely? I don't think so. And here's why. Even if something does happen, the entire globe, the entire world is tied in to one another. We're all joined at the hip financially, every one of us. Every government on the face of the earth has a stake in making sure that we don't see something like that happen. You can imagine what would happen if something like that were to knock out the grid across the globe. We would have mass chaos like this world has never seen. Is that the goal? Is that what the elites are after? No, I don't believe it is. They want to manage this in a much better, more efficient way. And so I don't think that's a potential, but again, is it possible? Yeah, it's possible. So I would say no, Mark, that's not likely to happen.
Yeah, I think it's not likely, but I think that it is. I think it's like you said. I think it is possible, and I think that because of the catastrophic nature of it, it's kind of like, is my house burning down? Is that likely? It's not really very likely, but it would be so financially catastrophic that I do buy homeowners insurance. You know, and I do think about, you know, I couldn't take that kind of a hit, so I need to take some minimal steps to prepare for it. And one of the things that the CIA director, and I'm not a big fan of the CIA, but you know, when somebody of that level and caliber comes out talking about something like this, I think it's probably worth listening to. And he said, you know, at minimum, make sure you've got a way to get water, because you know that's one of the big concerns of the die-off would be people just dying of dehydration because they were tied to a city water system. And I believe that the grand plan is, like you say, it's of the elites, and they have planned to manage it. But I think that sometimes you get these unintended consequences, and I think that that ISIS is one of those things that, you know, they've Brennan, which was Kissinger's right-hand man. He was purposely sent into Iraq and stir up the fight between the Sunnis and the Shias. And
yes.
and he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. And then you've got and then playing the other side of that team was Petraeus, who's a member of Bilderberg.
Mm-hmm.
He was running the other side of that operation to keep those two fighting, and we're funding both sides. It's like the Crips and the Bloods, and and we're funding both sides of that war. And I think you get these kind of things that it's obvious what the elites are doing, but I think that you get a bunch of radical fanatics like that stirred up, and I think that it can end up spinning out of control to where even they can't control it, And I just worry one of those guys gets a nuke on a container ship, and we've heard so much about how porous our ports are. You know, I think they could probably drive one across the border in Texas, without too much opposition. And as Pastor Chuck Misler's been saying of late, we may be entering into one type of God's wrath is his abandonment wrath. And it talks about that in Isaiah, where he just lets the hedge come down. And he's like, I don't have to do anything. All I have to do is quit protecting you. You know, you're in a bad neighborhood, and it doesn't have to be global. And I think there's other sovereign actors besides places like ISIS that just have nut jobs running them. Kim Jong's, he's a great example.
Yes.
And he's got, it just wouldn't take much. And Iran and we're kind of making friends with Iran now, but in the process, we've turned our back on Saudi Arabia, which props up the petrodollar. And so now, we're making new enemies, and mm-hmm. They've got a lot of money to fund terrorists. Obviously, nine of the hijackers were Saudis, and it's just it's really a mess.
I hope your listeners are picking up, Mark, that we believe that most of the geopolitical activities that forgive me for speaking for you, I believe that most of the, if not all the geopolitical activities we see today around the globe are being maneuvered by the elites. It's they view it as a big chess game. They're just moving pieces around on the board, trying to come to their desired ending.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's exactly what I believe. And most of the folks that have read my books are pretty well aware of that's what I've been trying to get across. Now,
we can't keep your books in our bookstore, by the way. Every time we put a half dozen copies in there, they get bought up. So,
well, thank you very much. I really, really appreciate that. That's flattering. It really is.
Well, we've got people that keep asking me, Have you talked to Mark? Do you know when book 3 is coming out in the days of Noah? I said, well, Lord willing, sometime this fall.
Yeah, October. Yeah. As you said, Lord willing and the creek don't rise.
Yes. All right.
We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. I've personally been buying gold and silver from JM Bullion for over 2 years. They offer the best prices over spot that I can find, and I've never had a problem with an order. If you're looking to trade in some of your fiat paper for real money, check out jmbullion.com today.
When disaster strikes, it's too late to prepare. PrepperRecon.com offers MOLLE-compatible individual first aid kits for your home, auto, or bug-out bag. These kits have everything you need to address a traumatic injury, including an Israeli battle dressing, quick clot, EMT shears, suture kit, Steri-Strips, tourniquet, ACS chest seal, tough strip bandages, gauze, and so much more. $89 includes shipping. To buy your individual first aid kit, go to PrepperRecon.com and click the store tab at the top of the homepage. Order today before it's too late.
Now, during the month of August, we're going to be covering several different areas of preparedness, And folks can check all that out. We just had a show on our SRC or Shemitah Readiness Checklist. We had Fox 519 from Radio Free Readout, and he came on and he spoke about financial preparedness. And we're going to have John Rubino on to talk about financial preparedness as well. And Paul Munson from Sun Oven to come on and talk about a little bit more about food storage preparedness. We're going to be covering comms with Kale from FO Time. One of the most important areas of preparedness, though, and it often gets overlooked, especially by prepper websites and prepper radio shows, is the area of spiritual preparedness. And I think especially in the times that are coming, I think that might be one of the most important ones. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree with you, Mark. You know, Jesus said it gains you nothing to have the whole world. And in our context, you can have a well-stocked pantry, a well-stocked basement. You can have enough food for the next couple of years, but it gains you nothing if you lose your soul. So, it is the most important thing. That is the basis for all of this.
And now let's say we've got some listeners out there and, you know, they're generally good people and, you know, maybe they don't really attend church, but, you know, they never killed anybody. Would you say that that person is spiritually prepared?
I would say that they are not. The most important decision that anyone can ever make in their entire lives is the decision to trust Jesus Christ for the salvation of their souls. Now, would you mind if I walked your listeners through the biblical framework for receiving salvation through faith in Christ, Mark?
That's what I was hoping you'd do.
Okay. Well, there are 6 points to consider. I'll make this just as clear and simple as possible, because salvation through faith is very simple to understand. It's very simple to receive. First of all, I want to point out John 3:16. Everybody knows this verse, and we should use that to our advantage, Mark. Even folks that do not claim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, many folks can repeat that verse, and it says that God loves you, that God has created you, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. I mean, everybody knows that verse, and so that's where I start. God loves you, and but that presents a problem for us, and that problem is that we're all born sinners, and we read that in Romans 3:23, that we've been born as a sinner, and so that creates a problem with a holy God that loves us, and the result of that sin is death. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. So God loves us, but we're born as a sinner, and the result of being born as a sinner is death. So what are we supposed to do then? Well, praise be to God, He also made provision for us, and that's Romans 5:8. And I'm hoping your listeners are writing these verses down, and they'll go back and look them up for themselves and understand precisely. But God made provision for us in Jesus Christ, and Romans 5:8 says, "For while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us." Well, that's wonderful, Mike, but what am I supposed to do about that? Okay, God loves me, but I'm a sinner, and my sin separates me from God, but God's made provision for us in Jesus. How do I receive this provision? Well, that's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says, if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth Christ Jesus, that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. And so the result of that then, of receiving God's provision, you jump down a couple more verses in Romans 10:13, the provision for that is eternal life. So that's really simple to understand, but folks can't seem to grasp that. So I hope that your listeners will understand the most important decision that they can make is a decision for Christ, because you can have all this preparation done, but if your soul's not taken care of, if your soul's not secure, if heaven is not your eternal home, then you're lost. And that would be a tragic thing, to go through all this preparation and yet lose your soul.
And then I don't make a habit out of quoting Keynes, but he said, in the long run, we're all dead. So, he was wrong on a lot of things about monetary theory, he did get that one right, because statistically speaking, 10 out of 10 people die. So
that's right.
I guess it's pretty important for people to be prepared for that event, especially since we know the odds of its occurrence. And one of the things you just mentioned in Romans 3:23, it says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And, you know, while my personal standard for being a good person was, you know, well, I haven't killed anybody, it sounds like God's standard is much higher, and that everybody falls short of God's standard. So we need that blood of Christ. And how do we get covered in that? And how do we get into heaven and cash in that ticket?
Yes, exactly. Well, it's by believing, by confessing, believing that Christ's finished work on the cross. Here's where there's a disconnect in the minds of many people. They don't understand the necessity of the cross. Now, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. There is no forgiveness for sin without the shedding of blood. But it wasn't just any blood. It wasn't, I mean, I could be crucified, but that ain't going to save anybody. It had to be the blood of the Son of God, the perfect, spotless, without blemish Lamb who took our place. That's the whole point of the cross. The cross is the symbol of the penalty of death. And Christ took our penalty. That's why he was on the cross. And so he died in our place. His blood was shed in the place of our blood. And so by believing that his finished work on Calvary's cross is sufficient to forgive me of my sins, you are saved. It's that simple.
Well, that's really good news. I guess that's why they call it the good news.
That's right. Amen.
Now, what about for Christians? How can we be more prepared? Are there ways that we can be more connected to God so that we're going to have the peace, the wisdom, and the strength to get through the tough times ahead?
Yeah. Well, I would encourage folks to make sure that they are drinking deeply from the Word of God. Make a regular time of reading for understanding, reading for meditation, and reading for enjoyment. Sometimes, and I tell my fellowship this all the time and encourage them to listen to God as he beckons them to spend time with him. I can't tell you how many times, Mark, I've been doing nothing really important, and all of a sudden it'll dawn on my consciousness, hey, why don't you spend some time with me in the Word? Or, hey, why don't you come and let's have communion together in prayer? And so I want to encourage your listeners to spend a regular time in reading the Word, and do it in several different contexts, as I said, for understanding what the Scripture says. Do it for meditation, but also do it for enjoyment. And then I would say spend time in prayer. Ask God to specifically show you people to speak to or speak with about their spiritual condition. I think all of us have people in our lives, whether they're friends or coworkers or family members, who do not know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And so spend time in prayer and ask God to identify those people that you can go speak to. And then don't be fearful. Remember that Jesus said that in him, by faith in him, we have peace. And we really have peace in two different contexts. We have peace with God because of Christ, and because of Christ, we have the peace of God through faith. So we have peace with God. The cross eliminated the enmity between us and God. And so by faith, then, we have peace with God and peace of God. And Christ said that he has overcome the world, and therefore we can have his peace. And because he's overcome, we're overcomers as well.
And one of the things Jonathan Kahn keeps coming back to when he's talking about the Shemitah and what he thinks it's possible we could be seeing this fall is that he's saying we could potentially see judgment where God's just really, you know, either giving us another wake-up call or really getting serious about taking us to the woodshed. And we could see revival simultaneously. And I think what he's referring to is what I'd probably call the foxhole effect. You know, we often hear there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. And that's because when calamity really comes, you know, you kind of quit thinking about what's going on at the on Survivor this week or who's going to win The Bachelorette or whatever it happens to be. And folks start really getting serious and looking for God and thinking about the essence of their mortality, sort of. Do you think that's possible?
Oh, absolutely. I do, Mark. I think that during times of trial, people do turn to God. Of course, time will show whether or not it was an authentic salvation. Remember, Jesus said that on the judgment day, many will come before him, and they'll try to say that they had faith in him because they did a bunch of good stuff. And Jesus will tell them, depart from before me. I never knew you. And that's tragic and sad. But to answer your question, I do believe that in the coming tribulation, many folks are going to be saved through faith in Christ. So I would agree with Kahn on that. I think that that in periods of judgment, you still have revival. People's hearts are being turned to the Lord as they see what's before them. And they understand, maybe for the first time, that they are not capable of dealing with any of this. But they know in their heart one who is. And so they turn in faith to Christ.
And then which Christians are going to be best prepared to take advantage of that opportunity to share that good news that you've been talking about and the peace and the love of Christ? I mean, if we're fighting over resources to stay alive, we won't really have much time or energy to be out helping others or counseling or trying to spread comfort, will we?
Yeah, that's a fact. Clearly, those who are prepared are going to be the ones that can take advantage of the opportunity. If you have food, water, ammo, whatever, if you have those issues facing you, you're going to be running around like a chicken with your head cut off, and you are very susceptible to danger. But if you've got all that stuff taken care of in advance, your food, your water, your ammo, your safety issues, if those are all taken care of, then you're going to be much further ahead than many other people who unfortunately are sleepwalking through life today, believing that nothing bad can happen in America. We don't want to ignore the warning signs that are clearly evident and fail to prepare. So if nothing transpires this time, then we've really lost nothing, but we will be prepared for the eventual appearance of trouble. It's coming at some point. It's just a matter of when, and that's why, and I appreciate Kahn not date-setting and other people not date-setting. We're not trying to say on this particular day, on this particular day. What we're saying is all signs indicate that there is a reset coming, and it's going to have a reverberation through not just America, but perhaps other nations, but it's certainly going to touch every system in America. So don't think that you will be unscathed or be delivered from it. Every single person in America is going to be impacted in some way. So it'd be much better to be prepared.
And Philippians 2:4 says to not look not only for your own concerns, but also for the needs of others. Do you think charity has to be something that we have to factor in when we're looking at long-term food storage?
Yeah, I think that it goes back to what Christ said, be wise as serpents, gentle as doves. I believe that compassion with wisdom should play a part in this. What greater testimony is there than this, that when people have nothing to eat, we give them food, or when they have nothing to drink, we give them water. action like that, action followed by testimony to the reason that you are helping them, is a powerful thing, Mark. And so I would encourage your listeners who are engaged in prepping, and maybe they think they've already got enough put back for what they think is the duration of the coming troubling days, I would encourage them to put a little bit more back, because I think every one of us can think of someone who is not preparing, but when the time comes, they're going to need some help. And the last thing you want to do is turn that person away. So, yeah, there's a place for charity. There's a place for compassion. And it really gives us a platform for a testimony.
Fantastic. You've just given some really, really great tips and advice. And Pastor Mike, can you tell us one more time where we can find your show?
Sure. It's SoaringEagleRadio.com. You can subscribe to it on iTunes, Soaring Eagle Radio. You can listen to it on the website. You can follow me on Twitter. It's Soaring Eagle Rad, Soaring Eagle R-A-D, or on Facebook. I'm on Facebook, Pastor Mike Spaulding, or Soaring Eagle Radio is on Facebook, and you can connect with me there, and I would love to chat with you.
And if they want to go back and listen to some sermon archives...
Yeah, they can go to the YouTube channel, Calvary Chapel of Lima YouTube channel, and listen. I think the Psalms series is out there right now. We're going through a website revamp on our church homepage, cclohio.org. So normally the sermon archives would be there, but they're not available right now. So if you go there and you can't get to them, then just hang loose and they'll be out there again soon.
Very, very good. Pastor Mike, thank you so much, and we really appreciate you taking time to come on and talk to us about spiritual preparedness today.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate the opportunity. God bless you.
In the Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution by best-selling author Mark Goodwin. A globalist conspiracy transpires by way of a false flag attack against America's energy infrastructure. Noah and Cassandra Parker witness a complete economic meltdown, which is intentionally triggered by the event. The assault is blamed on patriots and Christians who are rounded up into detention centers across the country. Noah and his friends must take action to prepare for the meltdown and defend against the totalitarian regime, which is gunning for their freedom and, quite possibly, their very lives. Get your copy of The Days of Noah, Book 2, Persecution for Kindle, paperback, or audio edition at Amazon.com today.